This is verse 53, continuing, discussing the translation again. Wearing two-piece silken cloth upon my body, and an embroidered corset upon my breasts, the prasad, what is this? It's the prasad cloth remnants given to me by my own Swamini Radha. How she gave it to me? With great loving affection, by her own hand, situated eternally by the side of Radhika. I will very expertly and exclusively engage in rendering various expert services. Oh, when will I ever see myself here in Vrindavan in the form of a very soft, youthful maiden? That's another translation. Very poetic. This person is a musician, makes his own musical instruments, flutes and whatnot, and a poet and a translator. My godbrother. Dasarath Sute Ji. Very nice. Okay, let's. We heard the translation. We were discussing how the meditating yesterday and thinking about the desired Siddhadeya will bring it about by the touch of the Lord's special energy. Either during the time of sadhana, we'll see our Siddhadeya in spiritual form at the very exalted and advanced platform of Bhava Bhakti or Prema. Or in the case of, either way, it's Bhava and Prema. You'll see it now or you'll see it later. You receive it now or receive it later. You may receive it from Guru by Guru's grace and very early in your devotional practices. Sri Guru may deem you fit and give you your divine eternal form. I know one guru that teaches his disciples bhakti bhajan, sadhana bhakti, vaidya and raganuga. And it's not all one, everything is individual. So I remember one devotee, some friends of ours, they were sitting with Gurudev, their guru, in a room, and they were recently initiated in diksha a year or so before. And at that time, there were some other godbrothers of that devotee there, of this guru. And he said, Gurudev, I'm very anxious to meditate on Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and I'm feeling intense hankering to serve them and be part of that whole experience of meditation. I don't know if I'm qualified, but am I fit to receive, you know, Siddha Deha? You would give me my spiritual body. Tell that to me. What is commonly, popularly known as Siddha Pranali Diksha. So then Gurudev said, let me think. And he thought, and he said, all right, I will give you next auspicious day. So when they left that satsang, his godbrother, Bengali gentleman, who was a very good and advanced devotee, he said, I am initiated 10 years ago. And I've asked Gurudev several times for Siddha Pranali, and he said, no. And and I'm Indian and Bengali, and you're Russian. You're a Russian person. But of course, these designations, Sarvupadi Vinir Muktam, the guru is not seeing upadis, he's seeing atmas, and he's seeing past, present, future. The said guru is a Trikalagyan. He's a Trikalagyani, like Krishna, well, not exactly like Krishna. Krishna knows everything we did forever in the past, and he knows everything we'll do in the future, and he knows what we're doing now. But Guru knows our past, and he knows our eligibility and capability and qualifications. So he guides us and teaches us appropriately. So the devotee, the Bengali godbrother, was extremely thrilled and happy for his younger godbrother. He said, oh, you're so fortunate. You're a young man, and seemingly from a foreign, distant place, but Gurudev has accepted you and given you this very exalted and wonderful gift. So this is the... So now he has that. So either you receive the Siddhadeya during your sadhaka time as sadhana, and you practice and meditate like that and cultivate those meditations and sevas niramanasi, mental seva, and gradually practice all the limbs of bhakti, shravanam, kirtana, vishnu, smarana, and you advance through anartha nivritti if you have received at such an early stage due to the understanding and recognition of guru, and you go through anartha nivritti and then to nishta, ruchi, and then on to asakti, then finally at bhava, that body that you've been meditating on and serving in, you'll actually see it and have a vision of that. So that's experiencing and cultivating the spiritual body after receiving it from guru as part of your raganuga sadhana. But we heard from the story of Bhagavatam 1.6.28 that Narada Muni didn't receive his spiritual body as part of his sadhana, but he became pure. He became pure in consciousness. He became shuddh bhakta, bhakti bhajan. He was, you can see from his story, he was fearless, totally fearless, really fearless, not just saying, oh, I'm fearless, I'm a big, strong, I'm fearless because I'm big and strong, or I'm fearless because I'm wealthy, or I'm fearless because I'm famous. He had nothing, no physical strength, no monetary strength, no name or fame. He was a child wandering in the wilderness, 5 years old. What dhrita vrata, what determination. He was wandering everywhere, meditating. He says, God, the sages, when they taught me in Chaturmasya, they said, God is in your heart. Narayan is in your heart. You chant this mantra, Namo Narayan, Namo Narayan, Namo Narayan. So we know that Narada Muni, he's the great devotee of Lord Vishnu. He is the preacher of bhakti all over the universe. He preached to Murgari the hunter, and everywhere in the Bhagavatam, Narada Muni is appearing and preaching to someone. Vyasadeva primarily is most famous student. But he was this is the same little Narad, boy Kumara Narad, 5 years old. Gopa Kumar, like Gopal, little Gopal. Imagine Gopal crawling. 3-4 years old, five. Now he's in the forest, walking in the middle of the forest with tigers and snakes and owls and wolves and bears. Fearless, determined. And just Namo Narayan, Namo Narayan. And meditating on Chaturbhuj Narayan in his heart, Antaryami Paramatma, Lord Vishnu. Oh my Lord, where are you? Are you in the rivers? Are you in the mountains? Are you in the mining towns? Are you in the cities, in the villages? He went everywhere. Parivrajak, wandering everywhere, all over the length and width of Bharatvarsha, through the Himalayas, everywhere. Then one fine day, and gradually doing his sadhana bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, because raganuga means you're following a brijvasi, either in sambandhanuga or kamanuga. So sambandhanuga, raganuga bhakti means that you're following raktak, patrak, and dasyarati, or you're following Sridham, Subal, and Sakirati, or you're following Nanda Yashoda and Vatsalyarati, or you're following Lalita Vishaka, that's Sambandha. But then Kamanuga, following that calm, that intense, indescribable loving attachment of the Vrajasundaris for Krishna in a mood of conjugal love, Madhurya, that's called Madhurarati. So that's Kamanuga, Raganuga, Bhajan. So he wasn't following any of those. He wasn't following any Ragatmika, Brajajana, Ragatmika, Braj. We don't read anything. We read that he was chanting his mantra and he was meditating. Basically, we understand he was meditating. He was doing dhyan, paramatma dhyan. He was meditating on the Chaturbhuj Narayan. And then one fine day, he had darshan in the recesses of his heart. The Lord gave him the eyes to have darshan. And what level was he at? What devotional platform? The Bhagavatam says bhav. Bhav chetasa nirjita. He was at the level of bhava bhakti. What is the level of bhava bhakti? What are the symptoms? What are the characteristics? Open up Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's Madhurya Kandambini and look under the seventh shower, where it's called Madhurya Kandamani. So the seventh Varsha shower, seventh chapter, will tell you about the symptoms and characteristics and experiences of one in Bhava Bhakti. And also Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami Pad is mentioning about the nine symptoms of Bhava. Nam Sadaruchi, Kalatvam. One thing is, person at the level of Bhava has intense taste for Krishna's name. He's always chanting the holy name. Always, holy name is in his mind, in his heart, and his tongue. And he's always, every second, moment to moment, he's engaged in remembering Krishna fully. Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela. So this was Narada Muni. Then he finally advanced further very quickly after Bhava. He attained Prema. And to the level of Prema, then he got the darshan. He got the darshan of Vishnu. He was overwhelmed and amazed and beside himself and chamatkar and vismita and advut and all the adjectives. And then he was, oh, I've seen such a beautiful form. So what he was meditating on, he received. He was meditating on the spiritual form, Satchidananda Rupa of Paramatma, and he saw it. So the Raghunuga Sadaka, in his meditation, he's meditating on his spiritual form, Siddha Deha, as a Manjari maidservant, and he's meditating on Swamini Radha and his Priyatam Sham. He's meditating on Radha Krishna Yuga, and he's together their forms, their spiritual forms, and his spiritual form, or her spiritual form. And when we come to Bhava and Prema, we will also have Spurti, will we see ourselves. Because Narada was not aware of his Siddhadeya. He had not had that conception or had that idea. He just wanted to realize God. And God is in my heart as Vishnu, the personality of Godhead. So then finally, whom he was meditating on, he saw at the time of Prema. Similarly, whom we are meditating on, we will see at the time of Bhava, it's possible by the Lord's grace, or Prema. So whom are we meditating on? The husbands are not meditating on their wives. The wives are not meditating on their husbands. The devotees, whether they're married or unmarried or single, they're meditating on their desired manasachinta deha, their desired spiritual body that they want and cherish to serve Radha and Krishna eternally, or that specific siddha sarup that's been given to them by Sri Guru. And they're not just meditating in Paramatma, because for the jnani, for the yogi, inside his heart is Chaturbhuj Narayan, Vishnu. But it was told in Treta Yuga, someone said, do you know there's this monkey, Bandur? He's a param, param, param devotee of Ram. He's a great devotee of Ram. He's so great that he's always singing Sri Ram, Sri Ram, Sri Ram. And he sees, this monkey sees Sita Ram in his heart at every moment. And they are enshrined in his heart. They're living in his heart. They're accepting his worship from moment to moment. And, such a great devotee. I must meet him. What is his name? His name is Dasyarati Hanuman. Dasyarati Bhakta Hanuman Aki Jai. So this person went to meet Bhakta Hanuman, Hanumanji. And he said, they're telling me that you're seeing your Ishta Devata in your heart. But everyone knows that inside of all jivas, whether it's an ant or an elephant, it's a Paramatma, Chaturbhuj Narayan, four arms. And then we don't hear about anybody else there. He's alone. Lakshmi is somewhere else, maybe resting somewhere. Who knows? It's a solo show in the heart. Of course, she must be there because you can't separate them. But it's not told like that or depicted like that. It says, meditate on the Paramatma in the heart. So Hanuman said, so how is it you're seeing, instead of seeing Paramatma in your heart, how is it you're seeing Sita Ram, your Devata, in your heart? Because I am. And he said, I don't believe you. He said, you want to see? He said, yes. So then Hanuman, he's so powerful, he can break steel in half with his fingers. Steel, you know, big beam, like this beam up there. He's top. He just went like this, opened his chest, and that unbeliever, he looked in his heart and he saw Sitaram standing in his heart. So in the same way as Bhakta Hanuman is meditating on his Ishtadevata, the Raghunugya Sadakas, they're meditating not on Sitaram, but the original Sita, the original Shakti, Adishvara, the Adya Shakti, Srimati Radharani, Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha, and they're meditating on the original form, at least our Gaudiya conception, although they're all one in Tattva, but the original form of Godhead, Govinda, Sham Sundar. So we're meditating on Radha Madhav Yugal in our heart. So at the level of Bhava or Prema, we will see our spiritual body in our heart and we will see this transcendental form of Radha and Krishna, just as Hanuman saw Sita and Ram. So that's kind of a wrap-up of yesterday's points. And he was praying that... So as I was saying, you become what you think. So a Manjari Srupupasaka, this is a review, it was very nice to read again. A Manjari Srupupasaka accepts as his or her role model or templates for meditation the eternal maidservants and Manjaris of Srimati Radharani. For example, Tulsi Manjari, Raghunath Das, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari. So in terms of their bhav, forms, and seva as a template in order to transcend his or her material body. So that's like a template or something to think about if you don't have a siddhadeya given to you by guru, at least you can think, I want to attain like this. In the 9th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's about Damodar Leela, and it's translated and commented by Srila Prabhupada. He didn't finish this chapter 9, or no, maybe he got to chapter 13 before he left this world. You can see, because after that his disciples picked up. And in chapter 9, there's one verse describing Mother Yashoda's intense laboring in the service of her Gopal. She's sitting there early in the morning before sunrise with a huge ulukal churning rod, and she's churning so much yogurt to make butter for Makanchur, the butter thief. He's the butter thief. So she's churning and she's singing, and she has this chaplet, they call it chaplet. Ladies, they put these little flower things dangling from the back of their hair. They tie their hair in some kind of way, and flowers are hanging there. It's called chaplet. And then very beautifully she's dressed, yellow sari, and she's Sham Rung, by the way. In Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika and many places, Yashoda's bodily color is actually Sham. And every single Indian artist paints her with a golden body. And every single ISKCON artist paints her with a golden body. But Srila Rupa Goswami says in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika that she has Sham Varna. She's dark blue. Why they always paint her golden? Because in India they have a mindset that the husband can be black, but the woman can never be black. She has to be golden, right? So a dark man can't marry a darker wife. She has to be a little bit less dark. So it's supposed to be Gauri Sham. But according to our Gaudi Vaishnava Acharyas, who are our Mahajans, the fact is that Yashoda is the same color as her son. Now, isn't that make sense? Usually, if you're black skin, your mother's not white. Have you ever seen a white man, Russian husband, and a white Russian wife give birth to a black Russian? I don't think so. But this is transcendental. No, but at any rate, that's the amazing fact for your ears to hear. That, oh, really? Read the book. It's in several places. Yeah, I don't believe it. Okay, that's fine. Don't believe it. I can even tell you the verse tomorrow if you want. any Gaudiyas that have knowledge and have studied Shastra, they will confirm what I'm saying. So how do you like that for rocking your boat? So when the Western artists came to paint, they got all the posters from Brijvasi posters, and then they saw and they painted exactly even the same poses. They just copied them. Mother Yashoda is like this with her baby. I've seen, you know, the 40-year-old paintings, and I see the one was done in 1975, and they just pinned it on the wall and traced it on the canvas and painted it. All the same poses, you'll see. So which came first, these books or those posters from 1930s and 40s? Anyway, that's another point. So the idea is that you meditate as a template. And so there it describes Prabhupada in his own words in his tikka. It's very nice. Chapter 10th canto, chapter 9. I can't remember the verse just now. You can just, there's not many verses. You see where Yashoda is described. She's churning butter and her hair is like this and her sari is like that. And she's perspiring and she's really working hard to serve her son. And so then the purport, Prabhupada said, this verse and description is an ideal subject for meditation for anyone who wants to love Krishna and Vatsalya Bhav. He should meditate on the form of Mother Yashoda as described in this verse. Therefore, that beautiful description of the form of Mother Yashoda engaged in intense laborious service for the pleasure of her Lalaji, Gopal, Nandalal, is an example of a template to meditate on if you haven't been given a siddhadeya. In other words, it's called Bhuta Shuddhi, which is the principle in Archan. Before you begin Archan, you can see in ISKCON or Gaudiya Math or any deity worship book, if you've ever seen one, it'll tell you how to do puja and artik and bathing and all these things. The first thing you do is Bhuta Shuddhi, is purify the elements of your body. Bhuta means elements. Mental and physical body, besides doing Achman. And Shuddhi means pure. So, there it says there's different levels. Basically, you have to transcend the identity that we have before when we begin puja. Because when we sit down to do puja of our deities, we think, I'm Mr. Smith, or I'm Mrs. Jones, and this is my little Gopal, or this is my Gornitai. And I'm Indian or I'm Russian or whatever. So that has to be removed because Krishna has to be served in a pure spiritual consciousness and abhiman and body ultimately. So there's various things. So here, when one does puja, then he thinks of the siddhadeya that's given to him by the Lord. By the Lord. Or by Sri Guru as a representative of the Lord. So the verse is given there as a general idea to transcend designations is Naham Vipro Nacha Narapatir Napivaisho Nishudro Naham Varni Nacha Chakriha Patir No Vanashto Yatirava Kentu Prodya Nikala Paramanandapur Nabritabder Gopi Bartu Padakamalir Das Sanodas Sanodas. So that's the basic abhiman or identity, upadi. We can have that upadi. Upadi means designation. Not man, not woman, not fat, thin, short, Russian, anything. Not married, not Brahmin, not Kshatriya. I'm just a Jivara Surupaya Krishna Arnachita. I'm a Das. Oh Gopal, you're my master. You're my beloved. I'm your servant. I'm nobody but Das. I'm your Das, your Das, Bas. So that's for the Vaidhi Sadaka. He'll identify that I'm not this material body, but Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman, I am spiritual. Of what specific idea or shape or form, I don't know. I don't have that adhikar or that ruchi. But further along, one will also do Bhuta Shuddhi before entering, doing puja or before doing meditation. And then he will think like this as a template of the Nityasiddha Ragatmikas that he wants to follow. Or he'll meditate first on his own spiritual identity given by Sri Guru, and then do puja, either externally with Archamurti or internally with his manasik puja, Leela Smaran, etc. So the So he said that. So he as a template, in order to transcend his or her material body, the sadhaka practitioner, devotee, takes the forms and qualities and attributes of Radharani's eternally perfected maidservants, Nitya Siddha Manjaris, as the examples to nourish his Manjari Abhiman, or self-identification. Because the verse is telling here, it says, Kishorim Atmanam Kim Iha Sukamarim Nukalaye. So Atmanam, as we defined yesterday, is a sense of Abhiman, or identification. Atma. Atma means I am. Atma means I am soul. Atma means I am mind. Atma means I am body. In other words, the common denominator is Atma means it's me. I am an Atma. Oh, Jiva, me Jivatma hum. Oh, I thought you were a Vaishya. I thought you were a Baniya. No. Oh, you're Videshi. I'm Deshi. You're Videshi. You're not nice. I'm nice. Excuse me, up Jivatma hum, me Jivatma. What is the difference? You're Jiva, I'm Jiva. Just because you have black paint job, I have white paint job. Inside one car, the driver is driving, and he has a blue car, and another one's driving another car, the black car and a white car. Drivers are drivers. They're one. They're all driving. So this kind of ignorance is everywhere, of course, even in ourselves. What to do? That's the beginning. This Atmanam. So we're discussing that, and we discussed yesterday, what does that mean? So this is just a summary of that. So the examples to nourish Manjari Abhiman, or self-identification of thinking. I have to think. Atmanam. Atmanam means me, I think I am. And there's even some Mayavadi philosophers that say, I think, therefore I am. Greek philosophers. I think, therefore I am. Acha, that's nice. You're what? What are you thinking? That's the question. So... So this is I am. What am I? I am. What am I? I am a Kishori. Okay, what kind of Kishori? A young Kishori, an old Kishori. It's like a young Kishori is a Kumari, unmarried. An old Kishori is a Vadu. She can be a young. Some girls get married when they're 16, 18. They're Kishori. They're 16, she's married, but she's a Vadu, Gopi Vadu. Vadu means married. Gopi Vadu. So this is. I'm thinking I'm a Sukumari, Sukumari Kishori, Dasi of Radharani. So this is Abhiman, it's identification, it's a thinking. I have an eternal spiritual form, like this, in this shape, or this age, in this sweetness and tenderness. And I'm serving the transcendental forms of Radha and Krishna. This is our identity, this is our aspiration. We cult is so... is called cultivation, self-cultivation, cultivating the real self, cultivating the eternal self. Our entire life for 25 years or 35 or 40, 50, we've been cultivating the wrong identification, cultivating, I am this and I am that, and someone says, what country are you from? I'm from here. And all the time we're reinforcing our wrong identity. Who are you? Oh, I'm so-and-so. Oh, what are you? Oh, I'm a Punjabi Baniya. Oh, no, I'm a Russian Kshatriya. I'm this, that. So now we come into this new... This is the ultimate level of true self-identification or true Abhiman is to identify with my eternal spiritual form and seva and relationship to Radha and Krishna. That's the ultimate identity. Everything else is we identify with this body and my temporary relationships with my in-laws and family. The same idea, but misplaced. One self-identification and one Abhiman is rooted and riveted and fastened and fixed in matter. Material body, material world, material people, material relationships. Now we're just turning the switch. One switch in your car gives you heater in the winter. Another switch in your car gives you AC and cooling in the summer. So we have to switch wrong mentality, right mentality. It all happens all the time. We have to make choices. We make decisions. Progress means elimination and acceptance. This is the meaning of progress. Eliminate, you have to drop, eliminate, and then accept a new thing. Someone preaches to you, it could be your doctor, your diet is faulty. Your diet is not good. You're eating wrong foods and non-veg, and you're going to die of a heart attack if you keep eating like this. You should become vegetarian and change your diet. So then, because you're identifying that this is my foodstuffs and I like, so now you hear some words from the doctor, and he says, you change your way of identifying, you change your mentality, you change your likes and dislikes, otherwise you'll die. So that's what Bhakti Bhajan is about, changing our thinking, changing our identification. So that's what Sripad is telling here. Kishorim matmanam sukumari nukalaye. Kim nukalaye. Oh, when? Kim nukalaye. When will that see? When will I see? When will that time come when I will see myself as a kishori? A sukumari kishori, as your maidservant. So the thinking, the highest or the proper nourishing of one's abhiman or self-identification or thinking is to think, I am a tender adolescent manjari, possessing my own individual, particular, eternal spiritual form and dress, qualities and sevas. I am not in any way this temporary, miserable body with all these mundane senses and foolish, crazy mind. I am a transcendental entity, a beautiful divine being, a transcendental spiritual female servant of Radha and Krishna, a Brajagopi, eternally endowed with youthful sweetness, beauty and charm. Everyone wants to be sweet 16 forever. But unfortunately, everyone turns 17 and 27 and 37 and 47, then 57, then 67, then Haribol. Turn around, start again. So this is a new way of thinking, the highest possible conception. In this way, the sadhaka attains spiritual perfection by his thoughts, and he transcends and discards his bodily and mental consciousness. And the commentator here, Sripada Nantadas, from his state of realization, being an acharya and teacher of all these types of bhajans, and he says very nicely in his tika, because I'm repeating what he's saying, I can't say I have this anubhav or experience, but he's saying, listen, sadhakas, how sweet it is to think I am Radharani's Manjari maidservant eternally. It's a very nice, sweet thought. This is his statement of the acharya. How tender, then he goes on, how tender and delicious is the remembrance of one's siddha sarup. Manjari bhav ki jai. So now, that's that point. Now, another nice point in the verse is the Swamini's Radha Prasadi Vesh, which is the phrase here, because I said there's 3 points to the verse, Kishori Atmanam, developing the Atma, or conception, or thinking, or meditation, and I'm Radharani's Kishori. And then, when I'm serving her, then I'll get blessed. We know in this world, everyone likes some reward. If we do something, we want some reward. If we work, we want a paycheck. If we clean the temple for the temple commander, we want a little ma prasadam. or if we come to some temple, you know, we have that urge to get a little recognition, to get a little something, even a drop, even a tulsi leaf. So there's no separate selfishness or separate wants in the spiritual, the eternal servants, but it's a human-like lila, and it's based on love. So love everywhere is the same, whether it's the material expression of eternal, whether it's the material transformation, or whether it's the real form of transcendental spiritual love, the dealings are always the same. And Rupa Goswami explains that in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Dadati pratigrinati bhunkte bhojayate chaiva akyam guyati prichyami sadguna pritilakshanam. He said there's six characteristics. Pritilakshanam. Priti. We say priti. You're priti. But in Hindi Sanskrit, priti, P-R-long-I-T-I, priti, means prema. Priti means priya, means very dear, sweet, intimate, close, prem, priti. Priti, bhav, prem, there's so many words. So this is priti lakshanam. Lakshanam means the symptoms or characteristics of love. So here in Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami Pada is describing spiritual love. Spiritual love can only be found in a spiritual world with God and his devotees, or spiritual love can be found in the material world with God and his devotees, or with devotees and the devotees. So in a spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, we find spiritual love, Krishna loving his devotees, or his servants, and the servants loving him, or servants loving each other. So Radharani is the greatest servant of Krishna. Radhanam, she's Aradha. And the Mandris and Sakis, her maidservants, they're also servants of Krishna. So here, there's an exchange of love between two devotees. That's what the verse is describing on one level. Radharani is the greatest devotee of Krishna, and she's rewarding another devotee, who's her Kishori Mandri, and that's what Sripad in his Mandri Srupa is depicting here. He's showing, see, this is spiritual love. Tadati pratigrinati bhunkte bhojayate jiva. Giving gifts, receiving gifts, giving prasad, receiving prasad, meeting privately and asking questions or revealing your mind. Oh, Lalita Sakhi, listen to me. You're my very loving dear friend. This Shamasundar, he's such a naughty boy. I was coming back from the Yamuna, and I had a brand new clay pot. I was carrying Yamuna water for the Thakurji Seva, for my father. And that boy, that Chatur, he was hiding behind a tree, and he threw a stone and broke the pot, and all the water went all on my back, and I was soaking wet when I came back. What we have to do something about this boy. So in this way, Radharani is revealing her mind and loving confidence to her Sakhi. So this is an example. So this line of this verse is telling, here's love in action. Radharani is giving a gift. She's giving a gift with her out of her loving heart, with her loving hand, to her beloved maidservant. Tukulam vibranam atakucha tate kanchuka patam. So it says here that tukulam means dress, vibrana means wearing. And so this is the kuchatate kanchuka. So it's a dress, and you might say modern terminology. You can say it a choli and a gopi dress. It's like pretty common these days. So the kanchuka patam is a blouse, or what we say, choli. And then prasadam, it says prasadam swaminya. So it's Swamini's prasadam. It's prasad of Swamini. Swamini means the queen, Vrindavaneshwari, Radharani. So the queen has given her servants. We are made servants of the queen. The Mandri, Rupa Mandri, Rati Mandri, Tulsi Mandri. They are all maid servants, the handmaidens of the queen, Vrindavaneshwari Radharani. So that you see, when you read the Bhagavatam, when there was a name-giving ceremony of Krishna performed, Whenever there's a ceremony, then Nanda Maharaj would give so much charity. He's the king. He gives so much charity to the musicians and to the Brahmins and gold and land and cows, much charity. So the superior person is always distributing charity to the lower. So Radharani is the Ishwar. So she, to her girlfriends, mantris are also sakis. There's five types of sakis. The mantris are... Radharani loves her mantris, and she treats her mantris like her little sisters, because that's what they are. Radharani's 14, and the little sisters are 12 and 13. So she loves them. If you've ever been in a family where you have brothers or sisters, you can understand, if you really love your sister, what that feeling is. The feeling of oneness. You're one with your sister or brother. You share your clothes, you share your food, you share your exams, your books, everything. Oh, can I use your bicycle? Yeah, my hand's a flat tire. And whatever is mine is yours. Whatever is yours is mine. This is love. It's called sucky love. Girls' love, or sisterly love, or brotherly love in families. It goes on. So, and that's in this material world. We've seen it, we've felt it, we've experienced it. We've done exchanges. Now imagine in a world where there's no envy, because your older sister may envy the younger one, especially if she's five times prettier. So although you love her and you share, there may be, because we're conditioned souls. And as Krishna tells in Gita, every single jiva born in this world is covered by two illusions, envy and desire. Icha dvesha samutena. So even the most loving sister is a little envious, or she wants what we have and whatever. But there's no envy, there's no selfishness. So Radharani loves her mandri so much, she gives him her personal clothes. That's why this translation says, wearing two-piece silken cloth upon my body and embroidered corset upon my breasts. Embroidered, that means when you sew these things in the cloth and patterns or whatnot, by hand embroidery, very beautiful designs. And the ladies' clothes is like that oftentimes. So that's Radharani's, what we say, choli or kancholi. So the manjari is happily wearing that on her body as Swamini Prasadi. It's the prasad. You can get prasad of cloth. You can get prasadi book. The guru has his Bhagavad Gita in L.A. one time. Srila Prabhupada gave Jayananda his Bhagavad Gita. And that was the first one that was published by Macmillan, the unabridged Gita. And Prabhupada, on the side, wherever there was like little space, Prabhupada had some handwritten notes that he had written and the verses on the side, and he gave that to Jayananda. And Jayananda, because there was always a debate in the early days, oh, we can't write in the books. These books are transcendental. It's an offense if you write anything in the margins or make some marked important verse. I mean, obviously you don't write on top of the verses. And there was always a debate. Oh, you can't do it. It's sacrilegious. And then the devotees from old days, they said, and we were in L.A. We said, no, Prabhupada himself, he wrote, Acha. It's a little here or there. So many things. So this is such a nice idea, because the devotee in devotional consciousness, he doesn't want anything for himself that's not prasadi. I know here in Braj, among the sadhus, the Bhajanandi sadhus, they don't want anything new. Everything new, everything fresh and new should be offered to Guru. I remember once I was sitting with some devotees, and some of their disciples came and said, oh, Gurudev, do you have any old joli, you know, the shoulder bag we call? And he said, yeah, why? He says, I'm doing this madhukari, and my bag, you know, some monkey took it. You know, I was sitting down by Govinda Kund to take some madhukari, and I wasn't attentive. The monkey took my bag and ran away. So, and I, you know, that one was given to me by one great devotee that was staying with us, and he left that as his prasad, prasadi kapra. So could you give me your old begging bag or whatever? He said, okay, oh, all right, I'll give you. So then you get. Just like Srila Prabhupada, so many times around the world he would travel and give his prasadi cloth, his sweaters, his hats, his socks. And some devotees would worship them and some devotees would wear them. Or do both. Wear them, and then later, maybe after Prabhupada left this world, then they would clean them and put them in a beautiful box with a glass case and say, look, they would proudly show it. See this? This was given to me by Prabhupada. He wore this sweater in France. And he wore this hat on the he wore these socks on the morning. He wore even the shoes. Devotees have Prabhupada's shoes, and they get them bronzed and things like that. They take the canvas shoes and they dip them in liquid bronze, and they become look like those slip-on shoes, gliders or whatnot. I've seen bronze. Hit Prabhupada's shoes. I don't know, some liquid, some brushes. It's not like plastic, an original thing. You dip the whole thing in and it hardens and lasts forever. So this is, you must have seen Prabhupada's footprints here and there. In plastic, I suppose. But originally they were done in brass or bronze. So we'll read a little bit about this. So we're talking about Radharani's Prasadi Kapra. The section here is Swamini Radha's Prasadi Vesh. Who receives Radharani's cloth? And what are the circumstances? And what does it mean? And what is the significance of it? So before we discuss that, I thought I would read a little bit from other Shastras, because throughout, not only Prabhupada's example, as I told you, of his disciples, but I told you a modern example, where even the Vajranandi sadhus, they won't take anything new. The serious ones, they only want prasadi. From either Shiksha Gurus or any advanced devotee, like they'll go to some advanced devotee. Do you have any old Bhairavas? Do you have any old Bhairavas? It's all dirty, you don't want anymore. And he said, why do you want? Because I would just want to get blessed. If I receive cloth from a great Siddha Mahatma, I'll get your mercy, I'll get blessings. Because anything you touch or use, it's very special, it's very powerful. So is this sentimental? Is this just a mood of bhav? No, it's not. Because the devotees are not fools. Everything they do is based on Shastra. So therefore we see the precedence. Not only did Prabhupada give us his prasadi vesh, it's called Guru Prasadi Vastra, the cloth remnants of the Guru. Everyone knows about that. They're very valuable. So when devotees would receive that, they would say, Prabhupada, what should we do with it? This sweater, should we worship it? Should we wear it? Yes, you can wear it. You can worship it as you like. So, Prabhupada's example is there, and then the extreme example of is, I know people that are so much absorbed in anything, they have this idea, and this seems a little amazing, but everything they want to offer to Krishna, what to speak of wanting prasad. There's two principles. Offer everything to Krishna, and then when you take it, after Krishna takes it, it's prasad. So I gave you a very obvious one, prasadi cloth, and these are exchanges of love, dadati pratigrinati. So even I know one devotee, very good devotee, and not crazy, quite sane and intelligent devotee, cultured devotee, Indian Brahmin devotee. And they, even when they get toothpaste, they have a special toothbrush for Thakurji. And they put some on that, and they put some there, jai ho, and then they offer it to Thakurji first. Maybe close the door, Yamunaji. So we're just discussing this verse. It's talking about this point we're discussing now is about Radharani being very pleased with the service of her manjaris, her maidservants. So she rewards them by giving them her prasadi, some clothes that she's worn, her kanchuli and her dukula. It says, dukula, the verse is like this from Radharasananidhi. It says, dukulam vibranam atakucha tate kanchuka patam. Which means, vibrana means I'm wearing the dukulam, means the dress, and kanchuka means that part which covers the top of the woman. So that's called choli or kanchuli. So she's received that, and I explained already this is an expression of love between devotees. The greatest devotee, Radha, expressing her love for her maidservants. So we express her love to God, Krishna, and Krishna back to us, or even one devotee to another, and all this spiritual love and exchange is described in Upadeshamrita. Dadati pratigrinati bhunkte bho jayate jiva. So I left off on as you entered, is it, how is this special? How is it special? How we worship the hat or socks or sweater we receive from Prabhupada as guru prasadi vastra. And when we asked Prabhupada, can we wear it or should we worship it? He said, you can wear it or you can worship it. And some, of course, I mentioned they did both. They wore it, and after Prabhupada went on preaching somewhere else, and they do puja to it. So what is the precedence for this? As I left, is this just the sentiments of devotees? As I just cited an example before when you came in, that some devotees are so intensely attached to Krishna, they don't want to accept anything that's not first offered to Krishna. And I cite an example which I've seen with my own eyes of a very advanced senior devotee from Sevakunja Vrindavan. Even they have a toothbrush for Thakurji. And that's toothbrush. And then they offer it and they meditate. Now I'm offering this datun, which is part of very deep, full kind of archan. Even in puja manuals, offering datun neem in meditation or literally. When you go to Jagannath Puri, oftentimes the pujari will give you Jagannath's toothbrush. Have you ever received? Have you ever? It's amazing. And it's about, you can imagine, it's about this long. And it's some type of twig from some tree that grows there. There's many, many types of trees. We usually say babul or neem. But there's many types of trees that you can that have that kind of bitterness or astringency, which can just grab anything, wild cherry in the west or whatever. No, there's certain kind of trees. They have that kind of astringent quality, maybe all of them. Some have milky thing, but there's certain ones, very good for teeth. So I received it. It was the most amazing thing. The first time I ever got a toothbrush, and I've been going there so much, it was about 5 years ago. And I gave some nice donation. He brought me a flag from the Jagannath temple. They changed. And it's standard. He said, I have something very special. And of course, they offer about 10 of them a day, actually, because he eats so much, And he's a very good patient, so he brushes after every meal. So he has good dental hygiene. You see his smile. It's beautiful. So they gave me the toothbrush. I said, well, that makes sense. Jagannath is big. And I said, what am I going to do with this? I gave it to somebody from Delhi. I was on a yatra. They have it on their altar. And people say, what's that? That's God's toothbrush. God's toothbrush? And I'm doing business with this guy? So it's sentiments, it's bhav, it's bhakti, but it's based on shastra. We follow guru, shastra, and sadhu. And everyone, the guru follows God. The shastras are spoken by God, and they lead one to God, and they emanate from God. And they, by following them, one goes to God. God is in the shastras. God speaks the shastras, and one ends up with God when he follows the shastras. So to get to the tattva, we talked about the bhav, we talked about the exchanges and lila. Now, what's the tattva behind this expression of love, giving a gift? This Manjari did very wonderful service to me. She's comes to Yavat to dress Radharani in the morning. Radharani says, I picked a very nice, beautiful embroidered choli of one of my prasadi. I want to give it to you because I love you. I appreciate so much the service. Oh, and how happy that Manjari would feel. Anytime someone gets recognized and rewarded for something they've done, we feel good. We feel good here and we feel good there because those type of feelings are actually emanating from the Atma. Bodies don't feel good or bad. They're just matter. So feelings are dead bodies don't have too many feelings. The origin of feelings in bhav is from the Atma. So there is the reservoir, the source of all love and intense feelings. So we find in the shastras, we find the tattva, the facts behind this whole concept of giving prasad and what it means. It starts millions of years ago with a conversation between Parvati and Shiva. And Devi asks Shiva, he says, everyone's worshipping, some people are worshipping you, some are worshipping Vishnu, and and Indra and Surya and Panchupasanam and Ganapati and everywhere, everyone's worshiping someone. But can you tell me what is the highest form of worship? So that verse is everywhere quoted, you can see. Araranam sarvesham Vishnur araranam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Tadiya. The translation. Oh, Devi, Shivji speaking. Of all the forms, of all the different forms, araranam sarvesham, araranam, all sarvesham, araranam, all worshipful forms and personalities. Worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost. It says, Vishnur araranam param. Param means there's no topmost. And tasmat parataram. There's like Krishna in Dwarka is called, what do you call it? Purnatara. So Purnatara means excessive. So then he says, tasmat parataram devi. But even higher than worship of Vishnu araranam is tadiyanam samarchanam. Higher than worshiping Vishnu, which is the highest form of worship. And then he says, parataram, even higher than that is to worship tadiyanam, that which is connected, tadiya. Tadiya actually means like madhya and tadiya. Madhya means mine, madhya, and tadiya means yours. So what is yours is worshipable. Anything to do with God, we worship the temple. We do prikma the mandir, mandir prikma. We worship the murti, we worship the floor, everything. So then the translation goes on. It says that higher than that, tadiya means the persons, places, and things in relationship with Krishna. For example, what is an example of tadiyanam? Tulsi, Guru, Vaishnavas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Holy Dham, the Mandir. And of course, the topmost tadiya is the worship of Srimati Radharani. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Samarchanam. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Higher than Lord Vishnu are all the tadiya. Those objects, nothing is really object. Everything is personal. Bhagavatam is personal. Tulsi is personal. Mandir is personal. It's a Sandini Shakti of Baladev. So they're all worshipable. And samacharam, equal samarchanam. They're all worshipable. So then, who is the most worshipable of all worshipable entities? Jai Jai Shri Radhe Radharani. So this is a tattva from the Mahajan. It says Narada Shambhu. This says Swayambhur Narada Shambhu. And sixth canto of Bhagavatam, the Dwadasa Mahajans are listed. Narada says Swayambhur Narada Shambhu. Says Swayambhur. So Shambhu, Shiva, is one of the Dwadasa Mahajans. So he's telling, this is tattva in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. So I got this sweater from Guru, or this is worshipable. So devotees worship it. Now, that's more tattva. Now, there's also a pastime. We're hearing here from the level of Radha Krishna Leela, Nitya Leela, and Sripad's expose and Radharas Sudaniti, how here Nitya Leela in his Smaran, in his Leela Smaran at the topmost level of Bhava Bhakti and Prema Bhakti, in a mood of a Manjari, Sripad is seeing Radharani, and he's receiving from Radharani's hand this prasadi vastra, Radharani. And he comes out of that sporti, then he writes about it. It's like this. So you can meditate if someone has the adhikar or the agya of guru or adhikar or ruchi or taste for that. He can go to that level and say, oh, how tender, how sweet this is. So we see in Puri Leela, this is Gaur Leela. So Gaur Leela gives support to Krishna Leela. Krishna Leela, they all go together. Gaur Leela, Krishna Leela. We're listening to Gaur Leela. Radha Krishna's Leela. Excuse me, we're listening to Radha Krishna's Leela. But we're hearing about, so someone might say, what's it, Dukulam, Kuchapate, Vibranam? What's the big thing? Okay, you're wearing your sister's clothes. Here, people wear the brother's clothes. Oh, hey, you're wearing my shirt. You didn't ask me. So what? I have to ask you? You're my brother. Of course, you don't have to ask. Because there's a bondage of love. There's a oneness in love and family. So there, Sakhi means friend. The Manjaris are not slaves. They're slaves, but they're friends. They're loving slaves, and they're so close to Radharani. So if you love, even the master gives gifts to the servant. On Diwali, the masters always give new clothes and sweaters and nice gifts for the chokidar and his wife. This is the standard in Indian etiquette. You take care of your servants at selected times of the year. So what to speak of in a spiritual world? So here we see in Gaur Lila, the king wanted, Prataparudra wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya, and he said, forget it. And he even asked some advice. He said, I don't want to meet him. Nityananda, what do you think? Nityananda spoke. Then he asked, what does Damodar Pandit think? Damodar, because Damodar, if he gets permission, I'll go. And Damodar said, no, it's your God. You can do whatever you want. I can't call it on this one. And then he said, okay, Nittai, what should I do? Should I meet the king or not? And he said, well, the king is very attached to you. And he worships you as his ishta, and he would really like to have your darshan. But as you know, it's sannyasis, they don't care about these materialistic people, shouldn't meet them. But on the other hand, you should understand that he's so attached to you and so much in love with you that if you don't meet him, it's a possibility that the king will die because he'll give up his body in separation. And that wouldn't be too good for the citizens if the king dies. So then he thought about it, and then he said, listen, we want to have a win-win situation here, because you're a sannyasi, I'm a sannyasi. Well, he's kind of married, but he's in that bhava of avadut, Nityananda avadut. So he has two wives. He said, you're a sannyasi, so the niyam for a sannyasi is not meet with materialistic people. They just stay far away from them, no interest. So he said, look, here's a way you can meet him and extend yourself to him without meeting him. How to do that? He says, Eka Bahiravasa Jari Deya Kripa Kari Tahapana Prana Rakke Tomara Asi Dhari. He's saying, Eka Bahirvas Jahi Deha Kripa Kari. Out of your Kripa, if you Deya, if you give him your Bahirvas. Bahirvas means, we say Lungi. Means the lower cloth that goes around the sannyasi is called Bahirvas. If you give him your Bahirvas, then what will happen? This is Pana Prana Rake Tomara Asidari. Then he will hold that cloth that will protect his life, Prana Rake. He will take that cloth and he will hold it to his head and hold it to his heart. And that cloth will create within King Prataparudra intense hope, and that will maintain his prana, his life airs. Tomara Asidari. And he will hope that he will meet you, Tomara Dari. He will hold you or meet. He'll hold the cloth. Now he'll receive your prasadi cloth and he'll clutch it, hold it to his heart and hold it to his eyes and he'll smell it with his nose. He'll look at it with his eyes. He'll listen to it with his ears. Because if you move the cloth like that, it goes whoosh, 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 whoosh. He'll listen to the sound of your cloth. He'll look at the color of your cloth. Purify his eyes and his ears. He'll smell the cloth. He'll feel the touch of the cloth on his head and think, oh, the Lord's feet are on my head. In this way, he'll absorb all of his senses and mind and your tadiyanam, your prasadi. And that came to pass. Lord Chaitanya sent some cloth. And then, what happened? It said, then, Vastrapana Rajara Haila Anandita-man Prabhu Rupakari Kare Vastrara Pujan. So here, it explains, when the king received the old cloth, Vastrapana Rajara, it doesn't say old. Even the cloth of God is actually transcendental. It doesn't get old, but anyway. That's just to give some idea. In other words, it's remnants. Old means remnants, but it doesn't mean old like this, you know, wrinkled and stuff. It means it's new, because we read in other books that Radharani's ornaments, her nupura, kinkini, waist belt, ankle bells, her clothing, it's not clothing. It's all mahabhav. When we say Mahabhava Surupini Radha, it doesn't just mean her heart is Mahabhava, her eyes, her nose, her hands, her cloth, everything is Mahabhava. This is according to Arasik Janas and their Shastra. So it says, Vastrapana Rajara Haila Anandita-man Prabhu Kripa Kare Kare Vastra Pujan. So he when he received this, then the king, Raja, received this Vastrapana, got that cloth, what did he do? He was in bliss. Anandita-man, his mind was full of bliss. He was Anandita-man. And then he felt, he says, Prabhu Rupakari. He began to worship it exactly as he would worship the Lord personally. He worshiped the cloth, a piece of cloth. Oh, this is Lord Chaitanya. Idam margyam, idam tambalam, idam puja. You know, he started doing puja, right? Esha dupa, esha dipa, And he's doing full artik to the cloth. He's offering bhog, idam navedyan, putting tulsi, and offering to the cloth. The cloth. Is he mad? No, he's following Lord Shiva, Mahajan. Tadiyanam samarchanam. Tadiyanam, that is, which is tadiya, is worshipable, archan. This is the Mahajan telling. So he, because he's a great devotee, he knows tattva, so he's worshipping. He says, kare vastra pujan. Why is that included in here? Because this is a book of Shastra, Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a book of guidance, teachings, rules and regulations, how to think, how to act, how to move, how to respect. It's maryada, it has maryada, and achar, and tattva, and lila, and ras. Everything is here. So this is very nice. And then, so he worshipped that. Then, that's an example of tadiya. So then Radharani has given her tadiya. She's given her tadiya, her dukulam and kuchapate, to Shripad in a spurti of meditation. And we'll hear more about that tomorrow. Shri Shri Radharasudanidhi ki jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.